There's a section in the book about Cascadia.
The concept of Cascadia and the concept of ecoregions. And I was very influenced by Brother Antoninus, William Everson, when I was early in college. I heard him speak to the fact that we home a place in our poetry, and we're like wolves, and our the land is, I mean, it's kind of like I'm forgetting the philosopher's name.
Heidegger.
Thank you. Heidegger. Yeah. That concept of homing a language in poetry. Like I said, things speak to us. So he considered himself not a poet of the land, but like a wolf. You know, that's their territory. They home it by ranging the parameters. You know, they walk around, they pee on it, literally.
And the poet tried to higher on the wall than other poets, and that explains a lot of things for you. So I'm tracking what you're saying. Please continue.
So again, my understanding is that we are the land. There is no separation. So it makes perfect sense to me that there are these bioregions, there are these ecoregions that have their own consciousness. And the consciousness of water, there was a Japanese physicist,
Masaru Emoto.
Emoto, yes. I wrote a long poem about giving love and thanks to water. And Emoto's work, I didn't publish it, it's just got a long, about all the different things, chants, and the descriptions of the way water molecules change depending on the words that you speak to them. And the concept that water absorbs, I mean, water, transculturally has always represented consciousness.
And emotions.
And emotion, yeah.
And amplifying prayers.
Exactly. And it absorbs our emotions. And this is why, there was this global movement to give on July 21st of every year, to give love and thanks to water. Otherwise, the hurricanes would come and the floods would come, because there's so much grief and there's so much, war, and there's so much drama, and there's, the earth rising, Turtle Island, back when I was 14 years old, I was very influenced by the Vietnam moratorium. They had these teach-ins, so they had students. One in particular who gave a workshop on future think. He wrote a book, Jacobs, I think is his last name. When he was like a student, I heard him speak. Imagining, if we didn't cut our fossil fuel emissions by 50%, this was going to happen in my 60s. And here I am, and this is exactly what's happening, so ten cuidado goes the other way, too. Pay attention to what is around you. Pay attention to, the signs, and, the trees dying, because trees are dying, and, on Olympia.
This Cascadia section, River Sweet, is what it's called, S-W-E-E-T, uh-huh. Quoting Joni Mitchell, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. And then the first poem is also River, and you're writing about your mom.
Uh-huh.
But she wasn't a Cascadian, but this is the first thing that you think of, uh-huh, when you're writing about Cascadia.
Uh-huh.
Can you talk about that?
Poems
on page 111.
Yeah. This is you started off in the introduction about heart, quoting that line about the heart And I have a poem in my new unpublished manuscript about being in junior high and having my English teacher saying, talking about my work, you know, as a 14-year-old, and saying there are five words that should never be used in poetry. River, crystal, heart, love, moon. Yeah. And the poem is about how I used all those words in one line, and that won me poetry. That was the last line. But anyway, so one thing about my work that the critic and my dear friend Alfred Arteaga, who's a professor at UC Berkeley. Anyway, he wrote on my work, and he pointed out that every single poem has the word heart in it. And he cited that line and that, but it's always used differently. It's always used in a different way. And yeah, ever since I was 14 years old, I've always made sure to have at least one of those words in my poem. I mean, it's not, I don't even think about it, and resurrecting that. But yeah, river, I wrote five poems a day when I was on average, when I was 14 years old. That means I would write, more than four poems a day. And rivers is river is a real thing to me. Talking about water and consciousness and, grief and, healing and going to the river of light to heal. River for my murdered mother. I remember the river, word you didn't want me to use, meaning freedom, meaning liberation from the flame. I remember fire, the lap of genius dissolving it all, the light in the dying leaves, the bare fall of it all. I remember. River of vein in the brain, the great artery of culture, weaving it together with threads, conversations. River of immense sorrow. River of forgiveness. River in the riven fallen. River of gasping. River of icy grasp. Fierce river. Fleet river. Saltless self revealed in sunlight. I remember the river, word you didn't want me to speak. Word, I free you. Word, in your ancient reveal. The word, river, a substitute for desire. I think when I was putting together this section, that before it was River Sweet, I knew there was a section in Cascadia, and I knew that somehow the book had to move from Olympia, the place and culture, to Cascadia, the earth and the things of it itself, and how that connects to our emotions, our connections with each other, love, relationships. And I kind of wanted to skirt and suggest the more political minefields of discussions of Cascadia and what that is, especially, when it comes to, questions of separation and, creating, a nation state. I don't think that's what the trees in the river want. and the river, the river doesn't want the wall. The book begins with that.
Yeah, and the Elwha didn't want the dams either.
Uh-huh.
And seems to be doing quite well without them. You say it's for your murdered mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the line, river of forgiveness. Have you forgiven your mom?
When she was murdered, I saw a grief counselor, you know, that was part of the thing. And mostly all she did was give me tissues and let me cry. And it was during the time of, you know, Primal Scream and that kind of therapy. And she said, I feel like you have something to say to your mother, and it's okay to say it. And I came out with, I hate you. And she made me yell it, scream it into the middle of the room. And she said, it's okay. It's okay. And she said, why? Why do you hate your mother? And I immediately said, you know, because she wanted me to tell her to voice it. And I said, because you didn't protect me. So I'm working on since I moved here, I've been working on a memoir. And I'm kind of stuck at the chapter last year, actually. Stuck at the chapter that begins, I hate my mother. And that's the thing with death, because it makes whatever permanent. So, you know, and of course, you know, do I forgive my mother's murderer? I can't even go there, you know. But I was assured that's okay.
To say I hate you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To feel that.
Yeah.
And to have a reason for it. Hmm. But, yeah.